Our faith is in the powerful Jesus Christ, Lord of all. He's alive, he's well, he is at the right hand of God today. And we're going to be talking about that in our passage in the book of Romans. Good morning. Good to see all of you. One other thought that came to me while we were after announcements, and kind of an afterthought, you know. We have started Kits Beach Club. And this last week, we had our first session. At this point, we have two children signed up. A lot of the paperwork didn't get out to the homes before Christmas. For some reason, you've never heard of that before, have you? All the confusion and everything that goes on. With all the excitement, kids lost their papers or they didn't get handed out. So we're praying that more kids will sign up in the next couple weeks and join Kids Beach Club. We had a good time. If you would like to help out as a lifeguard and pray for us, or if you would like to help out by providing snacks or providing some money to help with the snacks and the gifts that are handed out, please talk with Don or with Pat. And today, Don's not here, so you get to talk with Pat, right? Pat, where are you hiding at? See that hand waving behind the big box? Yeah, so talk to her if you want to help out in some way as a lifeguard for Beach Club. If you actually want to get involved with it, there's a lot of training and some expense there, so we can help you out there too, talk with you about that. But keep us in prayers as we get started this year. This is the first time it's been in the school. It's a new adventure, having a Bible club after school for the children that are interested, and pray for parents to get their kids signed up with this new program that we've set out on an adventure with. If you're in the book of Romans, be ready there. We're going to be up in chapter 8. Now, I believe I have told you this story before, but if not, some of you may not have been here present, or maybe you're like me, and if you sleep, you forget things. But anyway, I had an encounter with a great big guy. You had to be careful whenever you crossed his path because he was so big. And one time I got in his way just going down the school hallway. There was just no way to avoid bumping into him. In the process, he accidentally stepped on my foot. And I remembered that for several minutes after he got off of my foot. And anyway, he was 3 years older than me. Mark was 3 years older. He was in my sister's class. And as I've just implied, he was much, much bigger than me. Much bigger. And through the process of school, in junior high, he went out for football and for wrestling, began playing in those sports. And he became our champion high school center for our pigskin team. And they just went on for victory after victory with the help of Mark being at the center, because nobody could get around him. He was so big. If the center on the other team regretted being the center because he got the brunt of the weight. And several people would try to take him out and they just couldn't get him down because he was so big. His senior year, he was not only our champion center for our football team, he was our champion heavyweight wrestler. In high school, he stood 6'6", and he weighed over 400 pounds. Big guy. And so we were glad he was on our team. In wrestling, he won over 100 matches. He only lost two in all of his career in high school and junior high, which meant that he was quite popular around the area, in our community, in our district, in the state, and eventually, because he was such a champion, He was taken to nationals, and he won the United States National Freestyle Wrestling. And because he won that, he was taken to the International Wrestling Tournament and won, as champion, the International Freestyle World Freestyle Champion Wrestling in 1971. And he came back to a great big celebration in Middleton, Idaho. The Vikings were the champions because we had Mark on our side. We were proud of Mark, still are proud of Mark, for his accomplishments. Well, that was 1971, and the years have passed, and other champions have risen and fallen along the way. But there's one champion who stands undefeated. He always remains the champion, always will be, always has been. He came to this earth and walked for approximately 33 years here in this world and gave his life. But then the victory is that he conquered the grave. Amen? Yeah. And he is still reigning in heaven. He has promised us that he is going to return and he is going to come to take all of his followers to be with him. Yes, he was killed, but it was because he gave his life. It was because he wanted to make a sacrifice for us. As champion, he gave his life away in his timing. Then he took it back to prove his power, that he was the champion, the authority over all things. And someday, Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to give us the opportunity to have everlasting life. He paid for every human sin with his death, and he has opened the door to eternal life to those who would put their trust in him and join his team. Are we going to be on the team for Jesus? That's what we should be doing, realizing all that he has done, living by his rules, obeying his commands. Everybody's invited to join him, but each person must personally decide to live for Jesus. And he's promised not to step on our toes too much that would hurt us spiritually. He will step on your toes, getting you to step into line. He will allow that to happen. But he loves us enough that he invites us, encourages us to join his team and to be with him. Jesus Christ is not the champion by himself. He works in unison with his Father and with his Holy Spirit. We just sung about that. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. This is a key factor throughout the Scripture, that God, Almighty God, is a triune God who is working from the throne of heaven, worked through himself in person, in human flesh. He came. We just celebrated Christmas, the coming of the Christ, taking on human flesh, and also the promise that he has left his Spirit to help us. The triune God of Scripture is committed to helping those who believe Jesus is Lord of life. God wants every person to reject sin and corruption, to choose the winning team in Christ. We can stay with Satan in the world, which leads to death, or we can choose to walk with Jesus and find life. Join me in a word of prayer at this time. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, that he has come into this world as promised to serve as the Redeemer for all humanity. He has taken upon himself every sin and paid for it in full with his perfect life. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to join with you through Jesus. that you have made a way possible. Lead us and guide us in these next few moments as we study your word, as we reflect upon just a portion of your scripture, realizing how much you love us. And if there are any who have not committed their ways to honoring Jesus, living for him, we pray that your spirit will work in their hearts and their minds, convincing them that their need is great for Jesus. Father, we pray for your spirit to work in us who are believers, to motivate us to continue to live faithfully, and to invite others to share the good news of life in Christ. Be with us in these coming moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As mentioned earlier, we are in Romans chapter 8. We've been making our way through the book of Romans, gradually looking at the various aspects of the message the Apostle Paul had shared with us, inspired by God's Spirit. Today we are looking at choosing the winning team. Choosing the winning team. And as I mentioned, Jesus Christ is not working by himself. He is working in unity with the Father and the Spirit. We're going to be looking at that in our passage today. Let's read this section, looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 39, which reads, this is the New American Standard Translation. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly concur with him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God loves us so much. He is rooting for us. He is pleading for us. He is helping us continually if we would just put our trust and faith in him. God in his entire being, Father, Son, and Spirit, helps people to overcome their sin that they are engaged in this world. So let's look at this in the aspects of the three persons of God. First of all, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the champion who died for us to live, so that we could live. Jesus took upon himself our sins so that we are no longer guilty. Jesus, Son of God, knew before creation that he would need to redeem us. not just us, but every person in the world, because we're all trapped under this curse of sin. The Apostle Paul has talked about this starting in chapter 1, 2, and 3, showing that all humanity, every human being, is under this curse of sin that entraps us. And the wages of sin is what? Death. God did not design that for us, but it is a consequence of sin. Jesus is the Savior promised. He is the Messiah promised, foretold by the Old Testament prophecies. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and following, Paul follows that same chain of thought along, showing us how Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises of this Redeemer that God was going to send. Why is all this? Why do we die? What is this sin? Well, rebellion against God, disobedience to God's rule is sin. It's quite simple. If we disobey God, we sin. If we break a rule, we sin. If we do something that God is not pleased with, we sin. And it's quite clear throughout the Scriptures, God gave us guidelines so that we will follow them. But unfortunately, we keep choosing. We think we know better. We're smart people, aren't we? We got all the answers, we think, and they're usually wrong because we don't go to God first. Sin requires the death of the guilty person, and sin requires a perfect sacrifice. So even if you were to die for your sin, that still wouldn't cover the price. It takes a perfect sacrifice. And who is perfect? Only God is perfect. So God knew before time began that He would need to redeem His creation, people, us. His love for people made in His image motivated God to have a plan in place before creation to save His people from the curse of death. Verse 35 refers to this. Jesus lived what kind of a life? A perfect life. He lived by God's law. Now, where did that law come from? God delivered it through Moses. We refer to it as the Mosaic Law. Did Moses create that law by himself? No. God gave it to Moses to pass on to people so people would understand what the principles, what was the righteous way to live, what was the design that God made us to live. And it also reveals how many times and how many ways we go outside of that will of God. Jesus took all of human sin upon Himself to become that final Redeemer for all people. Since He Himself was without sin, death could not hold Him. Since He became our substitute, He was not personally guilty, so death could not hold Him. And thus He was raised from the grave by the power of God as Lord of life. He came out of the grave. We celebrate that when? Well, hopefully every day, but we especially celebrated it at Easter, remembering the resurrection. The third day Jesus came from the grave as Scripture had promised. Jesus now intercedes for us, for not just for us, but for people all over the world who will follow Him. After His resurrection and 5 weeks of preparing the apostles, where did Jesus go? He floated back up into heaven to return to the right hand of God the Father, to His eternal home. And in a sense, Jesus is our attorney, standing at the right hand of God, pleading our case. He intercedes for us who are believers, who are Christians, explaining, paying the price for our sin before God and claiming us as His followers. Does that give us free rein to do whatever we want? No. Chapter 6 talked about that. Romans chapter 6 said, shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? No, may never be. We are to what we have died to sin. Through Jesus Christ, buried in Christ, through waters of baptism, we are to be living for Jesus Christ. So Jesus came, he paid the price for us. And is that the end of the story? No, there was more. Jesus isn't the only one helping people pursuing God. We read also that the Holy Spirit is working. God sent His Spirit to live in the hearts of believers, in our minds, in the way we think, in the way we make choices. The Holy Spirit is helping us beside our spirit. The Holy Spirit was the long-promised gift that God had promised to give to humanity, to people all over the world, if they would just learn to walk with God. The Spirit was known to work in some people in the Old Testament. If you read back through the Old Testament, mentions that the Spirit in the very beginning was hovering over the surface of the deep at creation. Brother Ray mentioned that earlier in the devotion. Then later on we see that the Spirit worked in a few people, in a few prophets, a few kings, a few priests, but He didn't work in everybody. He was around, but He did not help the way that He is promised to help. Jesus promised His servants that the Spirit would come soon. While Jesus walked His life and taught those 3.5 years, He kept mentioning the Spirit. He especially mentioned the Spirit just before He gave His life to be sacrificed. And that is the passage that was read at the beginning of the service in John chapter 14, where He specifically says, My Father and I have been working in Your behalf, but pretty soon I'm sending what? The Helper, the Spirit, and He will come to you. This is in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, telling us, Jesus telling us how the Spirit was coming to aid His servants. When did the Spirit come? We read in Acts chapter 2, the arrival of the Spirit by miraculous powers, signs, and wonders. He appeared when there was a mighty sound of a wind, but there was no wind. There was fire over the heads of the apostles. But it wasn't really fire. It was symbolic of the Spirit. And then what else? The apostles were able to proclaim the gospel in multiple languages that they had never learned. Over 15 different languages are specifically listed. And those apostles didn't know those languages. But people were able to hear God's word proclaiming Jesus in their home languages, understanding fully in their mother tongue, and that was the power of the Spirit working through the apostles. The Apostle Peter said that the Spirit of God is a gift. At what point? At our baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is a promise that those who are baptized into Christ receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul just finished talking in Romans chapter 6 about our giving our life to Jesus Christ. And as he finishes that discussion of what happens at our baptism, he then goes into talking in chapter 7 and 8, this passage, about the involvement of the Spirit in our life. Now, I just want to clarify something. The Holy Spirit is working on everybody's heart. In the book of John, Jesus said that the Spirit is trying to convince every person to believe in Him. But the Spirit cannot work in a person's life until they surrender their life to the Lordship of Jesus. And this is where we find this discussion of the Holy Spirit's activity in your life, if you're a Christian, my life, and in every Christian's life, a special gift from God because we believe in Jesus and obey His word. That's pretty good, isn't it? God doesn't wait for Christmas to give His Spirit. He waits for you to become a believer and a servant. And then the Spirit works every single day. Chapter 8 reveals how the Holy Spirit is given as God's power to help us overcome temptations and overcome sin, to be covered by the blood of Jesus and protected through Jesus. God's Spirit in Christians helps us overcome our weakness. It specifies that in verse 26, that He is interceding for believers, talking to God in our behalf in ways that we don't even hear, ways we don't understand, helping us to become the people that God wants us to. Do you ever get an urge to do something that is good? I would suggest that that's the Holy Spirit working in you, trying to help you make the good choice. And then when you have an idea to do something bad, whose spirit is that? That's Satan. That's Satan tempting you, trying to get you to go the other direction. These unseen powers are real, and we need to be paying attention every single day to the choices we make. We need to listen to and obey God's Spirit working in our hearts, in our minds, in the way we think, so that we please and honor God. That's mentioned in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. We are no longer trapped by sin and death. We have been given an escape through the help of God's Spirit in us. Well, that makes two divine portions of God working in our favor. Does it end there? No. Because God the Father loves us. And because of that love, we not only have two of the divine powers of the triune God working for us, we have all three. God the Father takes care of all who will trust in Him. God is the Almighty One. And the Father who sits on the throne is in control. In John chapter 14, the verse 23 through 27 read this morning, it clearly speaks of our loving Father, God on His throne, along with the Son, along with the Spirit, all three working together to save those who believe Jesus is Lord and Savior. God has a good plan for people who obey His champion. It's not a questionable plan. It's not a bad plan. It is a good plan because God is what? Good all the time. Romans 8:28. If you don't have this verse memorized, I encourage you to. The Cathedral Quartet sing a song. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, and so on. I'm not going to sing all of it because I don't have it all down. Anyway, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God has a good plan for you. Are you going to walk in that plan? Are you going to obey the Master? He wants you to. He urges you to. The Spirit is urging you to. Jesus died so you will walk in that plan. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, the grace of God is working through your faith so that you will walk in that plan. But we still have a choice. And if you're stubborn and bullheaded and dumb, you're going to choose to walk in Satan's lies and forsake your Master. That's not smart, is it? It's not. And yet, how many times do we do it? We still do it. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and 8. He said, we are still physical people trying to live perfect spiritual lives. And the two are clashing with each other all the time. The things of the world are pulling on us, and God's Spirit is pulling on us over here, and there's a war in us that only by the grace of God, with the help of the Spirit, who intercedes for us, praying for us, and Jesus at the right hand of God praying for us, that we come out winners, children of God. Grace is important. You're not getting to heaven because you're so good. You're getting to heaven because of the grace of God through the sacrifice of Jesus and His working in us and the Spirit working in us and God loving us as His children. Believers are predestined to go to heaven to live with their Heavenly Father and a redeeming brother. That's the plan. God has already laid out the plan. Those who put their faith and trust in Christ are predestined to go to heaven, to be with God. Those who refuse to accept Jesus are predestined. The plan is, if you reject God's love and grace and patience with you, He says, okay, you don't want me? Your home will be in the lake of fire. That is what predestination is. Now, some groups say you don't have a choice in the matter, that you're made the way you are and you don't have a choice. That's not what our passage of Scripture says. That's not what Scripture says. God loves you so much that He invites you, encourages you. He's there with us in person, trying to help us make the good choices. God knows all things, including the choices that every person makes. That's what makes God, God. He knows everything. He invites us, He encourages us, but because He knows all things, He already knows what choices we're going to make. And He makes plans and arrangements trying to help us to make better choices. God's not surprised or caught off guard by any decision made by anyone. God isn't sitting up on His throne and, oh, I didn't see that coming. No, He already knew it. We're the ones who are sitting down here and said, oh, I didn't see that coming. Remember, God's there to help us. His Spirit is in us to help us if we will just take time to listen and choose to follow Him. God is omniscient. He knows all things. Every person is given life today and they are invited to choose the way of God, to obey His will through who? Jesus Christ. Grace working in the believer's life leads to life. However, because God is pure, if we disobey Him and are stubborn and rebellious and refuse to obey Him in disbelief, there's only one package He can give us: death. He's already told us. That's the plan. Believers must accept God's purpose in their life. That purpose mentioned in verse 28, mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and so many other passages. Since God knows the future, believers must trust that our loving Father knows what is best for us. We're kind of on a practice run here in this world. I've mentioned this in Sunday school, in our Bible study. We are given life in this world, and our life starts out usually in a family, right? And what are parents supposed to be doing? Training the children in what God says. And the children are supposed to do what? Respond in obeying their parents. Who laid out this plan? God did. God did. Because in heaven, what's going to happen? God has total authority, and He expects everybody to do what with His commands? Obey Him. If we're not going to obey God's commands, we will not be allowed in heaven. God knows what's best for us. Some of that may include some trials, some hardships. Scripture tells us those trials are to make us stronger in our faith. We're studying in Sunday school the books of Psalms. Psalm chapter 77, back to 75. The psalmist raises the question, God, where are you? I'm having trouble in this world. Where are you? Well, sometimes God says, you need to learn faith. You need to learn patience. You need to learn to trust me. Is everything about us just focused on this world? Scripture says no. There's more to come. There's an eternity to come. And God is trying to prepare us for trusting in Him forever. Will we learn to trust God in all things, even through the hardships? True believers do not tell God how to serve them. True believers say, God, what can I do to serve you? Help me through the dark to see your light. Jesus warns his followers, you will be what? Persecuted. You will be persecuted. You will have hardship trying to follow me because you're living in enemy territory. Satan is the prince of this world. But don't worry. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep pursuing in faith because perfection is coming. Christians, you are God's elect children under His protection. Verse 32 and 33 tells us that there's no power of Satan, no power of evil, no power of the world can separate you from the good promises of eternal life with God. I would like to suggest there's one thing that can happen. You can turn your eyes away from Jesus. The book of Hebrews has warning after warning after warning. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your faith in Jesus. Don't walk away. Don't give up. God loves you. The world can't separate you from His goodness. The world cannot destroy you from God's blessings. But if you throw in the towel, if you quit, how is God going to bless you? If I were to go out and be, this is a really crazy idea. If I were to be hired on some national football team but never show up for practice, am I going to get a paycheck? No. If I enlist city police force, and I never show up and never do any work, am I going to get a paycheck? No. If I never showed up to work here at Valley, would you give me a paycheck? No. Thank you, Cecilia. You're being honest. In everything in life, we understand there's some expectations. Why is it we think we can go to God and say, God, you owe me eternal life, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to listen to your word. I'm not going to obey you. You must give me eternal life because you promised it. Who's God? You or Him? God is God. And we better be listening, better be obeying. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, is the old gospel song. And we better be listening to our Father in heaven. He's standing for us. But he expects some obedience. Jesus is pleading for a case, but he expects us to honor his death for us. The Holy Spirit is working inside of us. But if we're not going to listen to him, Scripture tells us we can exasperate the Spirit, frustrate him so much that he will leave us. That is trouble. There's no hope when the Spirit leaves. That's the unforgivable sin. Don't get caught in that one. We see in our text that the entire triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, all want to help every one of us be part of his eternal home through the champion, Jesus Christ. Will we stick with the team? Will we honor the team through our Savior Jesus? The living God is for us. Are we for him? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your continual help. Thank you for giving us this day. Thank you for giving us everything we need and more. And we thank you for the promise that in eternity is coming of perfection through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Spirit, whom you poured out upon our lives to help us. We thank you for your Scriptures of truth that can guide us. We thank you for Jesus, who paid for our sin in full and conquered the grave so that we might have a doorway into heaven. Father, help us to be your people, following the champion, serving you, and receiving your reward. If there are people here today who haven't made that commitment, Father, I just pray that something I've said or some scripture will touch them, that the Spirit working in their hearts would help them to see the light of salvation through Jesus and help us to help them. We thank you for the day. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.